this region of the country takes a people, not just a pastor. And I hear the Lord speaking to us so clearly out of all of these exhortations this morning. Seek him and live. Seek him and live. Some of you've been looking for the right assembly of people, because we know that the word of the Lord says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. But like, okay, God, but who are the people that I'm supposed to be connected with? Because I done tried connecting with this group and that group, and it just didn't quite, something's not quite there. And that's because that's how it is in the body of Christ. So if you're a toe trying to connect with the heart, it ain't going to work. So God, help me to find the toe people. Oh, Lord, help me to find the arm people or the hand people. There's a part of the body that I'm supposed to be a part, that I'm supposed to be connected to. And Lord, help me to find that. And here in this region, now that I've been here 10 years, I can say a few things. Folks have been more on the, I'm a hand, so everybody in Harrisburg needs to have hand ministry. And like, no. We're heart, every church, and everybody that's not focusing upon heart ministry, then you're not of God. No. Just find the part of the body that we're supposed to be connected to. And so much of our upbringing in churches has been condemnation messages. So I know it feels a little bit unusual to come into a place and hear an exhortation, a prophetic word where God says, I put my arms around you. I'm pleased with you. The Lord knows that our walk hasn't been perfect. We haven't done everything right. But all of us who got children, can you identify with this? You love them kids. Rather as natural children, spiritual children, pet children, you love them. I don't care what they do. Even after you discipline them, what do? Turn around and you give them a hug. But for some reason, it's hard for us to picture God being that way. That after the moments of discipline or straightening things out or fixing this, can you picture Daddy now giving you a hug and saying, now, the only reason why I had to do that is because I love you. I don't want you to hurt yourself. You can take a moment right now and say, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. It may feel a little bit strange to refer to God as Daddy, but when you see the word in the Bible says Abba, Father, Abba is just the informal word, Daddy. Abba, 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 Abba. Do it again. Say, thank you, Daddy. I tell Daddy you love him. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't know what you've got prepared for us in the future, but we thank you that you are preparing us for it. You have prepared us. The children of Israel started out of Egypt and crossed through the wilderness on their way to the land of promise. For many of you here today, you've been on a wilderness journey. I can definitely say we have. I just didn't know it was going to be 10 years of wilderness. But why is wilderness necessary? So that God got them out of Egypt, but he had to get Egypt out of them. He got them out of idolatry, but he had to get idolatry out of them. He got them out of depending upon their masters so that he can get them masters out of them. So whatever it is that God has delivered you from, Keep your eyes focused on him, because there's something he's delivering and been delivering you from. He got you out of it, but he had to get that it out of us. Why? So that when we get to the land of promise and we see the giants, we don't do the same thing the people of God did. And we look at the giants and we compare the giants to ourselves instead of comparing the giants to God. Come on, bless the Lord. Yes, Lord. There are some giants in our families, in our family lines, multi-generational giants. But God doesn't want us overwhelmed by the giants. And so he's getting all of the stuff out of us that we've depended upon, that we trusted. I see a lot of stuff on the internet, Facebook, and all that stuff, where there's lots of people, they put out their complaints. A lot of people put out their frustrations. There's all kind of phrases about, you know, when people abandon you and they leave you and all that kind of stuff. But that word is confirmation, sir. I'm going to give you confirmation on that word, that there are some good things that God will cut out of your life. And there's no need of being angry at the people that left. There's some stuff that God did. So don't be mad at the people that left you, or even the people that you had to leave. Let all of that go. There's just someplace else that God has taken you. Like Abram, some of you, you're on a journey like Abraham. He started off as Abram, and God told him to leave his family, leave all that was familiar, leave his country, and go after something that I'm going to show you. You're going to show me. Ain't you going to show me first? No. God says go before he'll show. How many of you have found that out? God tells you to go before he shows it. We say phrases like go for it. You say, okay, I'm going for it, but what am I going for? Did you know that even when Jesus called the disciples, the only thing the Bible says is he called them to be with him. And then he sent them. He didn't call them into ministry. He called them to him. And if there's one thing God keeps taking urban life back to, is come back to me. He refuses. It's as if though God refuses to let us be church as usual. He refuses. Come on, bless the Lord. And I'm telling you, he's working on me. You got to understand, I got saved at 4 years old. I grew up in church, Baptist Church, Church of God in Christ, Assembly of God, Word of Faith, Charismatic Movement. I've been in all of them. Traveled around the country with music teams. Been on missions trips. I've done all of the church stuff, all of it. Children's ministry, youth ministry, young adult ministry, janitor, administration, benevolence, evangelism on the streets, all of it. And here is God messing up my world, because he's saying, out of all that you've experienced and all that you've done through all of the years, what I'm calling you to now is a land you've never seen, to build something that I haven't given you the blueprint. I haven't given you the architectural designs. You just got to follow me. Yes, Lord God. And that's why it takes a different kind of people, because all of us who grew up in church, we're accustomed to having it that way too. We're used to a pastor standing up and saying, here's the blueprint for the building fund. Here's the building we're going to build. Here's all the ministries that we're going to have coming forth out of this church. And so you come to Urban Life and you say, well, Pastor Chris, what are you going to do? I don't know. Well, when are we going to start getting the building? I don't know. I don't know how we got in this one. When we gonna start raising funds to do this? I don't know. In fact, I ain't been raising funds since we started here. God just said, put a plate in the back and let me talk to the people. That's right. Some of you that have been here for a while, you go, we've never taken up an offering in this church. No, because the Lord said don't. He said, let me tell people when to give, how to give. Okay. You messing with my comfort zone, God. So some of you who come to Urban Life, you're like, this is a really strange church. Today I'm confessing to you. Yeah, it is. It's strange to me too. Feel like the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. See, the when you say it that way, it's like, well, where is Christ going? I don't know, but just follow me as I follow him. Because I know it gets difficult. You try to explain this church. Some of you already, you try to explain this church to your friends and family. Yeah. And they say things like, well, how many members you got? And you go, I really don't know, because every time I go, it's just a few people. But each time I come, it's not always the same people there. So I don't know how many members we got. Don't it feel strange? Well, do you got a choir? Well, no. Well, how do y'all sing then? We all sing. You got any musicians? No. We just use tracks. And so they know they're trying to figure out. You sing to tracks, and you don't have a praise team and no choir. Well, why do you want to see? But the question they don't ask is, well, why do you want to go to a church like that? But I know you can't answer it. I don't know. I just know I feel loved there. I feel accepted there. I feel I belong there. My Father is there. We live in a strategic part of the country. Milton Hershey used his business to provide a place for orphans, to build a school for people who could not do better for themselves. He blessed an entire town with his wealth. He modeled, as one businessman, God's intention for this whole nation. Could it be that God is raising up some people? I don't know Milton Hershey's life. I don't know all of his story. But could it be that God is raising up some people with hearts like that? That want to live their lives for something greater than themselves? Can God entrust us with businesses and opportunities and know that we're not going to squander it upon ourselves, upon our dreams, upon our goals? That's why he has to get so much stuff out of us. Because if you still got this deep inner desire to fulfill all the things you never got to do, then he can't bless us the way he really wants to. I know this is different to come to a church and say, and because usually the point of coming becomes to get a blessing. And we come every week to church to get a blessing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But after a while, maturity has to kick in. It's like growing up in the house. Remember, you know, grew up in your mom and dad's house or grandma's house or whoever you happen to be raising you. And if for a while, it's all about the stuff that you can get. They're providing for you. You got a bed. You got clothes. I'm not saying they raised you right, because some parents and some people were horrible. They were abusive to their kids. But for the most part, there were things that were provided for you. But eventually, something kicks into the brain. I remember my last year of high school, because I realized the light bulb came on. This is my last year of free. It all kicked in the senior year of high school. And I knew it too. I enjoyed every day. I was that much conscious. Can you believe a 17-year-old that much self-aware that I realized this is it. I'm going to enjoy this final year of free. Because after this, I had to pay for it all myself. I remember when we got my first place and I didn't know how much toilet paper was. Stuff that you just take for granted. I never knew the price of a fork and a spoon and a knife. I never knew that mom and dad had to pay for the water. I thought that was crazy. You have to pay for water. And the same thing is in growing up in the house of God. Maturity level kicks in and you begin to realize, okay, God, you're not just here for me. I appreciate those messages and sermons in the early years of my life. God is there for you. He's there for you. He's going to be there for you. But eventually, God's going to say, are you going to be there for me? One of the prophets sitting in the temple, and he heard the word of the Lord. Who will go for us? That's a whole nother level. Because many times we want the revelations to be all about the things that God's going to do for us. I really hate that. I don't spend a lot of time talking about the big name preachers and the TV shows and all of that. But what bothers me is the continual, perpetual message about all the things that God will do for us. And sending in money so that God could do for us. Ever pushing the immaturity level of the church to think that that's really all this is about. I got saved so that God could bless me. And so we attend conferences to find out how we can be more blessed. And we go to seminars so that we can get more blessings on top of those blessings. And obtain more spiritual gifts and more information and knowledge. All the while, the Spirit of God is saying, who will go for us? So could it be that God is raising up and assembling a people with a different heart? Not saying that we're better than anybody else. Oh, my God, no. All of us in this room go, if you knew my story. It'd be what mom was praying about at the beginning. God takes the foolish things.
Yes, he does.
Put a sign on my foolish. God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The position that I'm on my job, I can tell you ever since I've been there, I've been like, how did this happen? I worked for state government. And the way I got the job was I had to go to the Capitol, to the governor's office, and have an interview with the press secretary for the governor of the state. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, how did this? And I went to school. But I didn't finish. And here I am with the job and the salary that you're supposed to have if you got the degree. That's God. Now let me connect it to you for you, because I'm talking about being blessed. Now let me connect the blessing to God's purpose. That's one thing I found out. God's blessings are connected to a purpose. So, God, why did you get this man a job for a position that normally required a degree and you put me in there? They tested to make sure I knew my stuff. They didn't just give it to me. They gave me a test. They sent me a couple of PowerPoints by email and said, fix this up, assemble this. And they gave me an Excel spreadsheet and said, you know, told me what to do. And I did the PowerPoints, and when I got to the Excel, I said, well, you haven't given me enough information on this to really know what you're trying to say, so unless you give me a direction with this data, I really can't do anything. And he said, that was the right answer. We just wanted to make sure that you weren't going to waste time on something that you really didn't know what it was. That was the test. Wow. Now, why did God do all that? Come on, give God praise. Now, why did he do that? It ain't about Pastor Chris. It ain't about Pastor Chris. This happened, 8 years ago. I can't believe how long I've been on this job. 8 years. 8 years ago this happened. But at the time that I had got that interview, we had just lost our building. We started out here going, few people. The team that came with us, they all left, went back to St. Louis. The few people that were still meeting with us in our church, they all left because they figured if those people from St. Louis left, there must be something wrong here. Go ahead, Harrisburg, y'all know. There must be something wrong. So then they all left. Nobody left but me and my wife and our sons, my mother-in-law, and a couple of other people. We had laid out our entire lives on this. We sold our home in St. Louis. We were living off of the savings. All of the money ran out. We had invested tons of our own money and everything into the ministry. We went all out. Everybody gone. Nothing left. $25 left in the savings. Down to nothing. And then a woman who we had met a year previously called us up and said, "Do you know anybody that needs a job?" God. Now, why would God do that? Because he sent us here. And where God gives vision, I notice they say it's one of those phrases that they say, but we didn't lived it now. When God gives vision, there is provision. And so what has to stop is this message of provision without vision. Come on, bless the Lord. God blesses his people to make them a blessing, not just for us to have stuff. Yes, Lord God. Come on, bless him. Yeah. God got us this job, got me and my wife, got her job, got her working through the same woman, led to the job that she's now on. Why would God open that up for both of us to both get state jobs? Both. I want you to connect some, because we done found out there are people who've been living here all their lives, way more qualified than us, never have ever been able to work for the state. And with one swoop, God puts both of us in state jobs, 8 to 5, off on weekends. Why would he do that? Because, come on, bless him. Because he knew that he wanted us to be freed up on the weekends to still minister to his people, all while he was still sustaining us. The provision is connected with a vision. Now, what am I saying to us today? The provision for you is connected to vision. It's connected to what God has purposed for your life. It's connected. And when the enemy comes in, wow, I'm not going to say he does it, but I didn't learn something about the way God moves in our lives and on our behalf to crush the plans of the enemy. Can't say he hasn't gotten in some blows. He's gotten some serious blows. Even with that provision, we still lost our house. Why? Because we were so far behind on everything. By the time we got the jobs and all that kind of stuff, it's too late. And then I'm trying to figure it out. God, how are we going to have any kind of testimony? See, you know how you try to negotiate with God. How are we going to have any kind of testimony in Harrisburg? We knew, we hear from another state, another city, and now the word's out all over this city. Those pastors that came here from St. Louis, yeah, they lost their home. Yeah, they, well, like, And what's so funny is the way God said do it. We were trying to hold on. You know, I believe in faith. We're going to hold on, believe in faith. And every time I get to pray, and the Holy Spirit will say, let it go. What? What? But Lord, I'm believing you. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Somebody needs to hear this today. Lord, but I'm believing you. I'm holding. What? God kept saying, let it go. Let it go. But God, if we let it go, we ain't going to have no testimony. Let it go. And then he said, take all the money. Because some of you, if any of you ever been through the foreclosure process, they don't take partial payments. No negotiations. Just all or nothing. We're like, but we can start making the payments even if we can't make up the backup payments. No, we got to pay all the backup and continue with your mortgage. So the Lord said, take the money that you would be paying on the mortgage, save it. Since they won't take anything, save it. Pay off all your bills. Make sure that the only debt that you have on your credit report is the mortgage. So we did that. Paid off the SUV, paid off bills. Finally, the time came, had to let the house go. My wife found the townhouse out near Hershey. So you guys didn't know that. We went looked at the place. It was really nice. And then as my wife and I always do, we got real honest with them, said, this is really nice, but we just want you to know, when you check our credit, you're going to find that we're in the midst of a foreclosure. But you will find all our other bills are either paid off or we're current on everything else. They said, okay, thank you for being honest. Came back to us and said, okay, since you were honest and it's exactly what you said, here's what we'll do. We just want you guys to make a double deposit. Because of your foreclosure, make a double deposit. Because we had been saving. Because we had been doing what God said do. We had the money to make a double deposit. We were able to move in smoothly. I don't know why I need to tell you guys this part of the journey. There are certain things that happen along the way, and it doesn't make any sense at the time. But God is still setting us up for a day to come. The company that owned the place that we moved into, 3 years later, when we wanted to move back in close to the city, same time that we found this facility, we found some apartments. It was still basically another townhouse, more like, yeah. And they were the same people that owned, that had given us that opportunity to move in there, same company. So when we found the place, we were looking around, and the girl started saying things, yeah, because your place is going to be here. It was new construction. This is going to be your apartment. She just made up her mind on the spot that they were going to give it to us. And it was one place left, and she said she had like 5 or 6 different people all to look at it. And she decided on the spot, because we already had a track record with their company, I'm going to give you guys the place. Story's not over. 3 more years go by. Juanita was at our house. My wife was teaching her some sewing, giving her some sewing tips. And so Juanita mentioned this because they knew that we were wanting to move out from that place. Our sons have moved, gone on, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we need to downsize, do the empty nester thing, y'all know. And she told us about a place. We went and looked at the place that they recommended. It's still a little bit too far out, but this place owned another set of apartments, and they were connected to the same people. I'm telling you about how God will connect you. You go through some things that don't make any sense at the time, and the story still ain't over, because I know God. The story still ain't old. I hope I'm encouraging somebody today, because there are some things and some steps that you've gone through that seem so unnecessary at the time. But God has been interweaving your life and connecting you with different people at different times, because one day he's going to gather it all in. the place that we're living in now, we went make the application. There's this woman there. Her last name is Green, like ours is Green. And, that's really, what a coincidence. Turns out she's from Kansas City, Missouri. We're from St. Louis, Missouri. So, of course, she makes up her mind on the spot. Yeah, y'all gonna move in here. We get there, and the whole neighborhood is mostly people that are not from Harrisburg. One neighbor on this side, he's from Washington, D.C. Across the street is Texas and Virginia and Maryland. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're doing something. Strategically, you moved us around and put us at just the right place at just the right season. It's sort of like what Joseph went to in the Bible, where his brothers betrayed him, sold him into slavery. But God was setting it all, using it all as a setup that would save the whole family. God knew years later that that boy would need to be in Egypt. And he would need to be in a high position to save his family. What started off as looking like disaster. And some of you have been like that. See, Joseph got all those visions and dreams. And plus, he's daddy's favorite. So some of you have been through that. You've been the favorite one. And God's had his hand on you. But life has not turned out anything at all like what you thought. It's like, God, are you just letting the devil just have his way? You didn't say it, but you thought it. You just letting the devil do whatever he want to do to me. Every once in a while, you get an encouraging word or something, and you try to hold on. But for the most part, it's like, oh, God, are you kidding me? And think about this story from Jacob's point of view, from Joseph's dad. And I feel like that I need to share that, maybe kind of close with that. From Jacob's point of view, this was disastrous. He's lost his wife. He's lost his son. When his oldest boys brought this coat to him that Jacob had earlier given to Joseph, his sons bring back this coat and it's all torn up and bloody. Go back and read that sometimes. His sons didn't say what happened. Right. They just let dad assume. Right. All they did was came and said, is this your son's coat? Mm-hmm. And of course, dad's going to assume, oh, an animal has torn him up and killed him. Mm-hmm. So that's how we get away, folks get away with that. Technically, we didn't lie. We didn't say. And Facebook duck face. We didn't say. All we said was, is this his coat? But think about it from Jacob's point of view. All Jacob knows is, one day I sent my son out to check on his brothers. And his brothers come back with a bloody coat. God didn't tell Jacob. You got to understand, this is the same Jacob who went to sleep and God opens up this dream and vision. He sees angels going up and down from heaven to earth. And God tells him, this land that you're laying on, I'm going to give it to you. This is the same Jacob. But God did not tell him his son was alive. This is an aspect of God that sometimes drives us crazy. Like, God, how could you not tell him? You let him be in this ultimate grief. So as far as Jacob is concerned, Joseph is dead. The dreams are dead. All this stuff that you showed him, it's gone. And God let it be that way for 13 years. Then there's a famine. So Jacob's just like everybody else. We got to get food. 13 years later, we got to get food. So he sends his sons to Egypt. Don't go into Egypt with his son. Just think about it from Jacob's point of view. Sends his sons to Egypt. They come back and they're talking about this guy who gave them a hard time. And tells them if they come back next time, you got to bring your younger brother. Jacob's tunnel. Stay on Jacob's point of view. I done lost my favorite wife. I done lost my favorite son. And now I'm being told I got to let go of the only thing that I got left. So finally, when it got to the point where he had to, because we're out of food, I got to send them back. It's only after his son named Judah that says, send them with me. I want to give you the prophetic significance. The word Judah means praise. If you release the only thing that you got left in your praise, you don't have no idea what's going to happen. Again, stay on Jacob's point of view. Jacob gives up the only thing he got left. Benjamin means son of my right hand. We use that phrase, right hand man. This is the last of my strength. This is all I got. But I'm going to release him with Judah. I'm releasing the only thing I got left in my praise. Little did he know. Now stay on Jacob's point of view. They come back. They're excited. And they've got news. Joseph is still alive. Of course, now they got to tell the truth about what really happened. But what Jacob didn't know was when he gave up the only thing he got left, that what he was going to get back was the dream. And the visions and all the promises that God had ever told him. Come on, bless the Lord. It just didn't happen the way. So I don't know if this is all making sense, me telling you our story, and I don't know what's happening in your journey, but I'm here to tell you, give it up to God. I go back to that exhortation that the Lord gave through our sister today. Seek me and live. That the word he gave through mom today. He's got his arms wrapped around us. Yes, Lord God. Come on, take a moment in this very, very, very personal moment right now. Just right there where you are. I don't know how God has used this particular message to speak to you. It's nowhere near what I plan to talk about today. But that's okay. God knows. Whatever it is that you have left, the last thing, would you send it forth with Judah? Lord, I praise you. I'm not talking about an emotional response right now. There is a praise and a worship that must now come up out of your spirit. This is from your will. For some of you, the dream that God showed you for your life, it's been dead a long time. But make the step of Jacob. Release it. Send it forth with Judah. This is the I will bless you anyway. Jacob didn't know what was going to happen. So I'm not going to even preach that message and say that tries to tell you how God's going to develop it. He didn't know what was going to happen. All he knew is I'm giving up my last. But I can guarantee you, I can at least tell you that from my experience, from the Lord that I know, he has never disappointed me and my wife and our family. Even in the midst of loss, since we've been here in Harrisburg, there have been several things that have happened back home. Not long after we moved here, my parents' house was burned down to the ground. Two of my brothers have had heart attacks. The young man that took my place when we were sent here and he became the associate pastor of the church, he passed away a couple of years after we moved here. I've had two spiritual sons, young men that were part of our youth ministry and coming up through the church, have passed away. It seemed like it got to the point where every time the phone rang and the area code was 314, which is Missouri, I didn't want to answer the phone. So God understands disappointment, the hurts, the losses. You better believe after we lost our home, we ready to go. I told the story real smooth, but the other side, and some of you've been there with God. Like, God, if it's gonna cost me all of this, then you know I really don't have to do this. I've said that many times, haven't we? Well, we really don't have to be no pastors. We said it. I ain't got no ego. I don't need the attention. Like I said, I've been in this a long time. I didn't need the attention. I didn't need. And some of you've been there. You've worked in the church. You've worked in various ministries. And the last thing you feel like doing is getting involved again. Go ahead and be honest. Say, God, I don't feel like, oh, God, please don't call me back into the, Come on, say, yeah, Lord, I don't feel like being back in all of that again. But could it be? That's what he wants us, not just you, us to give up. Give up that fear that I'm going to be burned out like I was before. Come on, give it up with, send it with Judah. Yes, Lord God. Send it with Judah. Yeah. Yeah. Because he is doing a new thing. And Pastor Chris can't tell you what the new thing's going to look like. But I can tell you God's doing something new. It's going to be different this time. We are assembled here today as a testimony that God is doing something new. All he wants is our yes. So just tell him yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I know why the Lord had us to sing that song today. Just as I am. Would you just say that to him? Just as I am. Just as I am. Thank you, Lord. Let's respond like the prophet. Lord, here am I. I know it's going to be hard. You can say this shaking in your boots, and I don't know what this is going to mean. But Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Oh, Lord, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I even got the strength to do this. I love it when you can be honest with God. You can say, God, I don't even feel like doing this. It ain't even about the strength. I just don't feel like it. I don't want to do this. Come on, be honest with God. He knows it anyway. Go ahead and tell him, Lord, my heart is willing, but my flesh is weak. In my flesh, I don't want to. Thank you, Lord. For those of you where there's a struggle in your faith, be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I just can't believe that you can change my family. I struggle, Lord, to believe that you can change this city. Those of you who have lived here all of your life, come on, be honest with God. Say, Lord, it's hard for me to believe that you can change this city. Help my unbelief. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. One thing I've learned, it's not so much about the starting with the change in the city. The change starts in each and every one of us. If my people, the word of the Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Let it start with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.